Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Logan from Cigar Federation, kicking off a very special episode of Cigar Chat tonight. Now, granted, it isn't Halloween, because Halloween is in 2 days, but as you'll see that we are dressed up in some costumes here to celebrate. I got a couple things to be thankful for off the bat. One, I don't know if anyone knows this character or not, but what I'm dressed up as, but I'm actually Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, if you guys can see that. It's my favorite costume. I used to wear it in college and all the time. And Rob's not here. And it's awesome because we have my favorite Canadian subbing in for him.
What's
so,
up, guys?
John, cigar surgeon, introduce yourself because you're all over Cigar Federation. You're my favorite mod, but we haven't seen you on video. Tell us a little bit about yourself, real quick.
Thanks, man. I go with Cigar Surgeon on Cigar Federation over on Our Cigars. Shout out to all the Reddit people as Avarice. I've been smoking for 7 or 8 years now, and coming over doing reviews on Cigar Fed and helping out where I can.
And that's why you're my favorite Canadian. You're just so helpful. You're just so helpful. I love it. So tonight, So tonight we've got a couple of special guests. We have Paul of Stogie Geeks, and we also have Cigar Coop of Stogie Geeks and CigarCoop.com. So how you fellas doing?
What's up, Logan? What's up, John? How are you guys tonight?
Hey guys, doing great.
Just sweating in this Meatwad costume a little bit. You know, I didn't realize how hot it would be. You know. In my garage, we're in this thing, but I'm going to support it, and I'm going to support it loud. So
you're rocking, man. You're rocking it.
You know, that's what I do. So let's just dive right into it. Surgeon, well, first of all, for everyone that's watching out there and listening to the AFRN, just want to thank you guys, the men and women serving overseas, listening to us. We really appreciate you serving and protecting our country every day. You can find us on CigarFederation.com as our community site, and we also launched our pretty awesome store, which is at store.cigarfederation.com. So take the time and check it out. You can download the podcast on iTunes under Cigar Federation or podcast.cigarfederation.com. If you haven't noticed, I love subdomains because it just makes everything very easy to figure out. So let's kick it off. So, you know, Paul and Coop, you guys run Stogie Geeks. For those guys out there watching or the people out there watching right now that aren't familiar, give a little bit of background on what Stogie Geeks is and does.
Sure. So this is Paul. I've been doing podcasting for about 8 years now. I'm actually a hacker by trade. I do a computer security podcast called Paul.com. And then a couple years ago, I decided to start up this whole cigar podcast thing. And Tim Margarini and myself started the Stogie Geeks as a blog and a podcast. And it's grown since then. We've added members such as Will Cooper. We've got Mark Jr. and Stogie Santa. And each week, you know, we do a show and we talk about all the cigars that we've been smoking. And we have special guests, which is a recent addition to the podcast. And we do segments, too. And that was kind of taken from some of my other shows. We do a how-to segment, you know, how to maintain your humidor, things of that nature. So that's pretty much Stogie Geeks in a nutshell.
Okay. So you guys give useful information versus us just wasting an hour of everyone's time, basically.
Oh, no, we'll totally waste your time, too.
Okay. Well, that's the only way to do it, you know. I mean, I don't think we take it too seriously over here, but well very cool.
On a serious note, though, Logan, last Friday we actually did an episode of both my security show and the Stogie Geeks in honor of wounded veterans and those who are serving our country. We supported a charity that we chose called Wings for Warriors, and encouraged everyone to donate and did an all-day podcast. The Stogie Geeks podcast happened at lunchtime. So when you hear the recording or see the videos for that, you know, please go donate and support those who defend our freedom.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about the charity and where people can find that out if they're listening on this podcast.
Yeah, so you can go to wingsforwarriors.org and go there and donate. And it was founded by a gentleman by the name of Anthony Doc Amin, who is actually a wounded veteran himself. And he's got... He supported some cigar functions in the past, and that's how we were referred to him. And I watched some of his videos that he had online, and then he actually called me personally, and I got a chance to talk with him. And it's just a very compelling story. He was a medic and was injured in Afghanistan. And the way he helped people I thought was unique. You know, if you're injured in the line of duty, you may end up in a hospital that's far away from your family. So he provides money for families to visit with those who are recovering from injuries and things of that nature. So I thought it was a really unique charity in that sense. And again, I liked Anthony's story a lot. He actually has an interview with Carson Daly that was really compelling, that really kind of sold me. And, you know, he seemed like a really great guy and truly is. So we did camouflage, ACU digital camouflage shirts with the patches. And one of the patches we did in the left arm was the Wings for Warriors patch. So we can always wear that and still continue to raise awareness for that charity in the future.
No, it's super cool. I mean, you know, how did the event go off? I mean, if you can share any of the, you know, how many people donated or participated.
Sure. So all day pretty much we had about 50 or 60 people watching live all day. And probably the most rewarding thing for me about the whole day was, you know, some of my friends that serve in the armed forces sending me email and text messages saying, hey, I'm down here at the, you know, the Army barracks and we're all watching your guys' show. We really appreciate what you're doing for all of us. And we did an entire panel of people in computer security who served in the military and how it helped them. And they were all so appreciative of what we were doing for them. They were like, you know, we know that, you know, me personally, I haven't served in the military. And they're like, thank you for, you know, for doing this for us. So that was a really rewarding thing for me. And more importantly, we, you know, we helped people. We helped a charity that, that helps people who work so hard to, you know, help defend the country. So.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, on a kind of in the same vein, I mean, we recently did a fundraiser for Project Manana, which, you know, supported underprivileged children in the Dominican. And it was just amazing. You know, we collect cigars from manufacturers and raise donations. And it was just crazy how much, you know, people rally around, you know, a common cause, and just the amount of support we had as well was just overwhelming. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. And it's a great feeling to see, you know, and give back. So, very cool. So, Coop, you're kind of quiet down there in the corner. And I swear you have like dragon freaking wings coming out of your head right now. Like, is that a Gurkha box, or is that a Gurkha thing, or not?
Will, I love your Halloween.
Yeah, it's a Gurkha sign up there.
Your Halloween costume's awesome.
Yeah, and you don't have a Halloween costume. Where's
that?
Yeah,
I ran late today. I ran too late today. I had to barely get home in time, so.
Well.
My bad. I would have. So, you.
Hey, guys. I'm Meatwad. Anyways.
Well, in terms of the Stogie Geek Show, you know, Will's been a great addition, and we've kind of partnered together, and we always, you know, we have this kind of like virtual hug that we do every week, and we just thank each other for finding each other and bringing us together. And Will's one of those blogs that, so I follow as many different blogs as I can and read up on all the different cigars coming out so that we can talk about them on the show. You know, I don't run the show as like, you know, you only should read our blog. I'm very much in favor of the community. And, you know, that stems from my work in computer security. And there's a huge, wonderful community there that loves to share information. So I kind of wanted to bring that to our show with cigars. And I loved reading all of the blogs out there. And Will was one of those blogs that stuck out to me, the timeliness of the information. And you could just tell it's a genuine guy. Stogie Santa got back from IPCPR and was like, hey, this guy Will is really cool. And I'm like, well, we need to get him on the show. And then he came on the show once, and we haven't let him go since. So.
This is true. So, Will, I want to give Will another compliment. And we don't throw compliments out very lightly on Cigar Chat. So we always say you got to save it up for a rainy day because someone will probably bust your balls. So you got to file that away in the compliment bank. But, no, I mean, Coop, I mean, I'll say this, is that there's a couple of sites that I go to, but if I want information about cigars for it to be accurate, on point, and timely – and be unbiased, and without a doubt, your site kind of takes the cake on that. I mean, I frankly don't know how you do it. I know you have another job, even though we are, I guess, somewhat competing companies, sort of, but I don't know how you have the time to do it. It's just amazing what you do. So file that way in the compliment bank. But tell everyone about a little bit about Cigar Coop, you know, how it got started, kind of what you do, and definitely hit on how the hell do you get all this information. You know, the amount of information you get is just amazing. How do you go about doing that for it, so our listeners out here can understand why your blog is so good?
We can't tell you that. We'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm already dead. I'm wearing a Meatwad costume for the love of God. I'm already internally dead. It doesn't matter.
Thanks, Logan. Appreciate it. Now, you know, I'm a fan of Cigar Chat for a long time and real privileged to be on the show. So, and congrats on the Armed Forces Radio Network deal. I think it's absolutely awesome. Okay, so I started Cigar Coop about three years ago in August, and originally I was down at IPCPR in 2010 working for a retailer, just kind of helping them out with some business development. And I went to the IPCPR, and it was like going to Cigar Disneyland. I mean, I saw the booths and everything, and it was a fascinating thing. And I decided, well, I wanted to kind of document my experiences with it. So I kind of, for all practical purposes, formed a blog. And I kind of just wrote about stuff like that. And along the way, I kind of got some cigars from the show, and I started reviewing them, and people actually read them, and I was a little surprised. And I was getting some good feedback. I don't know why I was getting good feedback, but I got some positive feedback, and I just kind of kept at it right now with it. But what kind of happened is, I say a little over a year later, I sit around in the cigar store a lot, and I'm kind of like, a lot of people will say I'm kind of, you know, a lot of folks will sit in the shop, they'll shoot about the entertainment gossip or sports gossip, and I'd be shooting about the cigar gossip, saying, hey, did you hear about this cigar coming out or that cigar coming out? Namely because I'm a junkie and I'm just absorbing information from a whole bunch of sources. So they said, why don't you start writing about some of the information on there? And that's really how I moved into the news piece of it. Then it just kind of evolved to another generation where I said, well, what can I do different compared to a lot of other sites? You know, there are sites that do news, there are sites that do reviews. And I kind of came up with this insane notion of, well, why don't we have someone come to the site every day and see something different? So Cigar Coop is a 365-day-a-year site. It publishes every day. It's focusing on news and reviews, I'd say, jointly right now. And I don't sleep is really the answer.
Apparently.
It's overrated is really what happens.
That's going to be my next question, Coop, because I'm sending Logan reviews at 11 o'clock at night. I can't imagine how much time you're spending on the site.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a day job in a similar field to what Logan does. So I do, and it is very tough. I don't exactly have bandwidth during the day to do it. But so a lot of times it's at night. A lot of times I'll cue to work up. So, but the news pieces I kind of do more ad hoc as news comes in. That stuff I'll focus on. And then the reviews, I'll try to cue them up for the week to at least get 5 or 6 reviews out a week right now. And I think I just got a system to do it where – I like to write. I kind of consider writing my craft, so it's I'm able to do it. Is the best way to put it. But you know, it's not to say anyone can do it either. But it's I've been fortunate. I have a great family who's very supportive of this as well. This is a passion, and I think I can speak for everyone that's called. This industry is a passion. I love this industry to death.
Just when you said you were at the shop and you like to talk about cigars, I find myself the same thing. And I think it's, you're a stogie geek at heart, right? Because we just love to talk about cigars.
And we do.
I think that's a really important, an important point.
Yeah.
That's really
and,
hit it off so well.
Yeah. I think that, and I think you mentioned also Stogie Santa, who's one of our co-hosts. And what I discovered about Stogie Santa is I think we're made of the same cigar DNA.
Really?
And we just tended, I don't know, our palates are very similar. So when we met at the trade show in Vegas this summer, we immediately hit it off. I felt like I knew this guy I had never met him before, and I've listened to his show every week, and yet I felt like I knew him for years. And it was the same thing with Paul and Mark Jr. as well. So it was podcasting was something I thought would be a good fit to bring the world of podcasting together with the written word, kind of what you and Rob did, Logan, where I think there's it really forms a powerful medium where your audience has both those options.
Woo! You're my best friend!
You're my best friend!
Rob is not my best friend. Rob is really my arch enemy. And I'm so glad he's not here.
This is the most love we've had on Cigar Chat a long time.
I know, this is like the most loving atmosphere ever.
Kumbaya!
I know, I feel jealous because you've got some sweet sound effects. I just have the Google Hangout and all I get is like the ding-dong and this horn and stuff. But anyways, enough about Rob. So, Coop, yeah, I mean, first of all, Stogie Stan, did I meet this guy, or did I not meet this guy at IPCPR? Because I don't remember a guy walking around.
I don't think you did. I don't think you did. No, I don't think you did. I actually don't know how he got the name Stogie Santa. That's actually I've been meaning to ask that. But he was actually there at the Ocean State Cigars booth, and okay. When I wandered over there, I happened to recognize him.
Okay.
So I would go into the shop where Stogie Santa works, and again, it stems from me reading the blogs primarily, and I basically went to a lot of people's top 10 list or whatever cigars they rated the best, and I printed up a list, and I would go to him and say, do you have any of these? And he would take me in the back, And sometimes he would have what I was looking for, and sometimes he would just pull out these gems covered in plume, really old, limited releases, and be like, here, try one of these, try one of these. Other times I'd just be sitting in the lounge, and you know, he'd come up with a box with a big grin on his face, and he'd just hand me one, and he'd be like, try one of these. And that's how we got the nickname Stogie Santa.
Because, dude, I love it.
Yeah, a lot of the cigars that I've smoked.
When he waxes poetic. I'm sorry, Paul.
Well, yeah, a lot of cigars. Go ahead, Will.
When he waxes poetic about a cigar, nothing better. It is when he loves a cigar, you really hear it in his voice, the passion when he loves a cigar. I just love that about him.
I need to meet this guy because apparently lately from the trade show this year, he's been bringing me lumps of coal. Because I haven't found too many gems lately, but enough with the Santa jokes. But I have a question, and since you guys aren't manufacturers, this is kind of nice and different change of pace, because typically, you know, we interview every week. I think you guys might be the third, maybe the fourth of all time non-manufacturer or supplier that we've had on the show. So I get asked a lot of questions that I never get to ask. So you brought up a great point about writing top 10 lists and stuff like that. So I know that that's for those out there that don't know, is that, you know, most new media, you know, sites do write a top 10 list, and, you know, some write a top 10 list of, oh, it's the best 10 cigars, and it's not necessarily new cigars. Some, you know, say these are the top 10 cigars. What are you guys' opinion just on a top 10 list in general every year from certain bloggers? Do you think there's any value in that? Do you think it's just fluff? What do you think?
Well, I think it's really important to do that every year and have that be one of the major pieces of content that I think is on your site or your podcast or whatever. Because, I mean, in the end, you know, one of our missions is to give people a guide and tell them what we think is worth smoking, what's worth spending your hard-earned money on. And, you know, not only is it informative for the listener, but it's a lot of fun, too. And you kind of get to go back and reflect on what the great cigars were that you smoked during the year. And I think that anyone that runs a media site based on cigars is going to have a unique perspective on that. And not any one individual, right? Because we all get access to different cigars. So there may be something on Will's list that, you know, I haven't really smoked because it's only available in Will's area or something that he may have gotten or what have you. So, you know, all of us coming up with these top 10 lists I think is really great for the subscriber and the listener. And, it, you know, it's great fun for us to see, even on our own show, which cigars were different, which ones we had overlap on, was my ranking on that stick higher than was on Will's list and things of that nature. So I think it's a really important and fun and informative thing.
What do you think, Coop?
Yeah, I think it's I hear the criticisms about it every year, and I love it when that time of the year comes around. There's nothing more. I love reading the other people's lists. I love doing. I do a top 30 list, which people say is insane, but if you look at the amount of cigars that's reviewed and I smoke, you'd be surprised how many people say, how come I didn't make the top 30 list? So
yeah,
I don't know.
We do a top 20. Well, we do a top 10, and then we do a 10 runners-up.
Okay, so 10 honorable mentions. That's like the yellow ribbon, like participant ribbon.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Typically what I've done on Cigar Coop for the last three years, is I do a countdown in the month of December. So I kind of close the cigar year out around Thanksgiving. And then one day, each day of the month, with the exception of taking Christmas Day to not publish that day, although I do publish something. We do publish something that day. Count them down. It's a lot of fun in that people come to read it. And we're able to kind of – I look at it as a reflection, a retrospective back on the cigar year. So it kind of really helps paint that picture for how the year 2013 or what if it was 2012. That retrospective I think really kind of hits home. It's something I enjoy doing because I paint that picture in my mind on that.
Okay. Surgeon, what do you think?
I think it's going to be interesting this year to see. I would say there's going to be two or three cigars that are going to be in the one, two, and three spots on all the Stogie Geeks members' lists.
Okay.
That's my prediction for this year.
Well, clue me in. What will those three be?
Well, I can't give it away now.
Oh, come on. Now you can. You can tease it.
I have to say that one of the cigar manufacturers that I think has done a fantastic job this year, and there's going to be one or two of this particular cigar, I think, in all of our lists, probably in the top three or four rankings, and that's Tatawahe, for sure. So I will give you that much. An exclusive. Okay. I'll give you the exclusive.
You give me the exclusive? Breaking news?
The breaking news.
What? Maybe I'm just behind the times. I am smoking, and we'll go through here in a second. I am smoking the Jason, you know, because it is Halloween. I'm wearing my meat wad costume, and Surgeon looks like a surgeon. And, you know, Paul, you look like old Heisenberg. And Coop, you look like you got dragons coming out of your head. But, well, I mean, Tatuaje, I mean, what? I mean, I have the black. I haven't, not the black, but the one, the black one. I haven't smoked it yet. I haven't smoked the 10th anniversary yet. I have them. I haven't smoked them yet. Are they going to really blow my mind that much? It sounds like they are.
So the 10th anniversary I thought was interesting because when it came out, I didn't smoke a whole lot of them because what I read was that it's the same blend as the Miami Brown label and that the 10th anniversary was just a new band. And Mark Jr. was the one that I think was most vocal about this on the show, and he said, the only difference on the books is the blends are exactly the same, tobacco's the same, they're just wet-packed. So they get that wax paper-ish wrapping inside the box, and that's the only difference. Mark Jr.'s like, no way. He said there is something different about this tobacco, and the ones that I've smoked have been really, really good in that 10th anniversary blend, and across multiple sizes. I think the No Way are probably standing out the most. So you know, that's one to look out for. This year's Halloween release, I thought it was good, and I guess it kind of segues into our rating system. You know, in our rating system, I gave it a fiver, and you know, I guess that deserves some explanation of our rating system, which recently Will has adopted for his own site as well. And you know, we saw, not to derail the topic, but you know, we saw a lot of different rating systems out there. You know, as a very heavy reader of every single cigar blog I could find and every podcast I could listen to, and I wanted to come up with a different rating system that really spoke to the way that we talked about cigars. And the way that we always did it was, you know, how many would I buy? Or, you know, what would I do to get this? And, you know, when and where maybe would I smoke it is how just a natural progression of me and Tim and Stogie Santa just talking amongst each other. And we kind of developed that into our own rating system. So, you know, we've got the lowest rating, which is a one of a lawn mulch, which we don't use very – we probably use it even less than we use the highest rating. You know, then we've got stuff like the Angler and a Tri One and a Fiver and then Boxworthy. And then we've even morphed it to have ones in between there where we say split a box with a friend. And then all the way up to our highest level rating, which is a five, which is called the Oasis. Which kind of speaks to how you would crawl over a desert of broken glass in order to smoke just one of those cigars. And there's only a select few, you know, cigars out of all the ones that we've ranked on our site that actually have earned the Oasis ranking. So now that we get the rankings out of the way, you know, the Halloween release to me was a fiver.
It was a fiver. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think that that's very interesting. And I think it goes back to everyone's, you know, every palate's different, everyone subjective. You know, I look at some rings, and I'll be the first one to say is I think a lot of the cigar aficionado rings are BS because, you know, it's all about what you can get in the local shop there in New York and stuff like that. So I don't put much stock in it. But how I rate, and that's why I personally don't, I've kind of followed the same model as you. I don't have anything to find, but it's would I smoke it again, would I buy a box, or would I smoke it if somebody gave it to me? So I think it's a pretty valid way of, you know, talking and thinking about cigars because somebody's 90 might be someone's 93. And hell, I've seen on sites where someone reviewed, this is just, I think it's hilarious. Is somebody, have you guys ever heard of the Ron Mexico?
Yes.
I saw on a site where they reviewed the Ron Mexico and all the ratings were bad. Like they were like, man, this tastes like paper. It feels like I'm smoking dried air. Like I, this is a terrible cigar, whatever. And they still, I think they gave it like an 86. Yeah. And I'm like, that's still like a decent rating in my head. You know what
right,
I mean? That's
right.
Like, still smokable, but so I think it's kind of different. Now, let me ask you this: what if, you know, there was one day how could there be a universal ranking system where everyone was on the same page? Is that even? You think that's even possible?
You know, it's funny you say that. I was talking with one of the local shop owners here about that, and there's so many factors that go into a rating. I mean, it comes down to the state of your palate when you smoked it. You know, how many did you smoke? And it also comes down to how old was the cigar when you smoked it And we've seen on the Stogie Geeks especially, we'll actually go back and redo cigars, and the rating will change over time, sometimes better, sometimes worse. So you almost have to separate, if you were to have a universal ranking system, you'd have to separate ranking the cigar for what it is and then ranking how well it fit your palate, right? Because you've said that already, though. Like, everyone's got a different palate, and a cigar that you may love, I may just think is okay. So how do you separate that out and come up with some kind of universal ranking system, you know?
I think it's trying to solve the national debt. It's just never going to happen.
Yeah. Well, what's your take on that, Will?
I think in the end, this is a very subjective, when we assess a cigar, there's a subjectivity in it, and individuality is always going to play into that, you know, from a palate standpoint and then just from a thought standpoint. You know, one thing that I was actually debating with another media person is the notion of if limited should be on the top cigars of the year or even rated. And there's, you know, this person's notion is that they shouldn't be. My notion is that the limiteds, you know, are, I look for the best cigar of the year, and I want to know how good that cigar is, you know, whether I could get it in small batches or large batches. I'm still looking. I'm not looking for the cigar that's going to sell the best. Yep. I'm looking for the best cigar. And I'll say this, you know, we're talking about this year. Tell me a core line that's come out this year that's knocked your socks off. This year has been a huge year for the limiteds, and
it's true.
It's going to reflect it on my list this year. I'm going to take a lot of crap because there's going to be a lot of limiteds, but right now that's what I'm seeing. So, you know, to ignore them, you know, in my opinion, I don't want to ignore them, but I can get some folks who are, you know, retailers that, you know, they can't sell them forever. So I get it.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of guys in the chat here asking about your sources. Can you talk a little bit about your sources? You're kind of the drudge of the cigar world. You're getting information that other people can't even source.
Okay. So in terms of is a question related to just how I'm getting news? I guess that's what they're asking, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're looking for a little. I mean, you may not be able to get the information out, but they'd like to know a little bit more about the process of just how you're getting such great information and how you're getting it so early before everybody else.
Okay, so I think that's a great question. There's a variety of things that play into that. I think the first thing is obviously there's relationships in the industry. So, you know, you try to build a relationship, and I'm not necessarily saying it's a friendship or a buddy system, but it's a relationship where you can, as far as your media brand goes, you can be an outlet for providing that information. And if you know, I've been lucky that I've been trusted in a lot of cases where folks have said, hey, we'd like to give you that piece of information first. So that's one way. The second way is press releases. Those are more general ways that the information spread across the media. I've recently changed my approach with press releases. I stopped posting press releases, and everything's now original content, because I feel that we can, with a press release, you can read that anywhere. But I try to tie it into the brand story and maybe some of the history behind it. I'm able to do some follow-up questions. So that's a second source with that. The third source is other media sources. So there's certainly, you know, if I hear something on, like, the Cigar Authority, if I read about it in Cigar Aficionado and it's noteworthy, usually what I try to do in those cases is I don't try to print it that day. I usually will wait a few days, but at least it's noteworthy to report it. Because sometimes that's the way the company is disseminating that information. I'm amazed in this industry how information is not disseminated sometimes.
It's true.
And it mind boggles me that I get the idea of having exclusives. It's part of what you do in the news business, and I've been privy to it. But when an exclusive goes out and then you ask for 3 or 4 days later and they still won't give you a photo or something like that, it is frustrating. There's other sources. I think there's a few companies that play a little of the social media teasers out there where they'll throw stuff out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can catch that, and then you can follow up with those guys in terms of asking some more questions, and you're able to build a story that way. That's a little tougher sometimes to chase down that information, but sometimes you can get some good info too. We don't leak information on Cigar Coop. That's something I will not do. So it's not about that type of information. Anything that's sourced, I have confirmation that I can go to press.
So, I mean, it's an interesting that you say that about press releases, because what I find is that's majority of what gets published. You know, I mean, we get press, I mean, not now, this is kind of the dead time, but, you know, 2 to 3 months before IPCPR, I mean, we post a couple press releases a day, because that's all, you know, stuff that comes out. And I think you're very right that there is companies that just do not share information at all. And it's just crazy. I mean, thinking about, you're in an industry, people want to know, but you can't get that information. I mean, do you think that that's just a lack? I mean, what do you think? Is that just a lack of knowledge, of understanding? I mean, basic marketing principles and communication principles, or is it more of a, they don't have the time to do it. They don't know how to do it. They just aren't aware to do it. I mean, what do you think the reason for that is?
I think there's two camps with that. I think there is a camp that they don't get it. In fact, I just talked to a cigar manufacturer who, you know, I was kind of a little frustrated on the way I was getting. I actually told this person he was more difficult to cover than Padron. And what he explained to me was that, you know, he doesn't have a large staff, and right now they don't have a lot of time to put into that. So, you know, it's a matter of me, you know, he said, hey, you need to be more diligent following up with me, and I'll try to answer your questions. So I kind of got that. He just didn't have the bandwidth to do that. But I also think there's some companies out there that are just anti-online media still. And I think we could probably name what those companies are. And they're not gonna share the information. I'll keep trying to knock on the door, certainly, and have that avenue for them. But I don't know if they'll ever win that battle.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that was one of the most shocking things to me about the cigar industry. And I don't think it's a necessarily a bad thing or an intentional thing. I think it's just a maturity in the market kind of thing. You know, and I come from a computer security world where even though I'm so-called online media, I have companies that are seeking me out in order to get press and publication on my show. And then you find the opposite, you know, sometimes when you come to cigars, that you really have to work extra hard to get people to even recognize you as a valid media and news source. And I think that's kind of a shame. And I'm optimistic about it. I think it's something that's slowly going to change over time. I think that just the way the cigar industry works and has operated for so long is very much based on what we would call old technology, based in print media.
Yep.
And things of that nature, and I think it's taking time, and it's been a slow progression to, you know, kind of migrate the industry onto this new platform of technology and social media.
Now, there is a protocol that I've seen in certain cases where their publications like Cigar Aficionado, they're the most established in the industry, they're going to get information first, but there's some companies that have been really good about the next day getting you that story. So you have that same press release the next day, and that's fine with me. I get the exclusivity type of angle. I think there is a competitive aspect to what we all do. So in that case, it's a lot less frustrating. You know, as long as I can get the information, I don't have to be first every time, because my readers, I'm hopefully coming to what I produce because they trust the source, and that's what I'm hoping they do.
No, I mean, exactly. I think you guys hit the nail on the head. It's a very, the industry, unfortunately, are we in the 21st century? Yeah, 21st century, and it's still a very 1950s, 1960s Mad Men kind of push marketing kind of deal. And it's very strange, and I see some companies, you know, and you say, well, kind of do the, kind of not the release necessarily, but the tease via social media, and Skip Martin is notorious at that. And I actually talked about that on the show last week, where he'll tease pictures of cigars and stuff. And you're right, that's very, very tough to cover, because I would say 99.99999 repeating of the people that do online media or cigar media have other jobs. I mean, hell, all of us do, right?
Yeah.
And I can only name probably one off, maybe two off the top of my head, that don't have a real job. And I'm not saying cigar media isn't a real job, but a 9-to-5 kind of job. And that stuff's kind of hard to catch. So, we won't rattle on this anymore. So we'll pause for just a quick break here. And just everyone listening on AFRN and our podcast, just thanks for tuning in. You can check us out at CigarFederation.com. Check out our newly launched store and products that we're carrying, like Liga Privada, currently carrying Aroma Craft Sampler, and have the exclusive Black Label Trading Company in our store. Check us out at store.CigarFederation.com. Zinger. All right, moving on. So new interest. Surgeon, you've been kind of quiet down there. I don't know if you're doing, like, operation or what the hell you're doing, but we have any questions from the audience or anything that's been bubbling around in your sweet little Canadian head the last 30 minutes?
Yeah, we've got some good questions for both Coop and Paul. Specifically, before we get started, you were mentioning, Paul, that we you just passed, what is it, 350 shows?
Yeah, on my computer security podcast, Paul.com Security Weekly, we just did the episode. Actually, tonight we did episode 351.
So, where do you? I mean, that's a lot of work on the show. It's a lot of work on your website. Where do you draw that inspiration from? What keeps you coming back and doing that every week?
So for me, and you know, it's the same thing for Paul.com and the same thing for Stogie Geeks. You know, for me, I really enjoy talking with people and sharing information, and you know, I always have. I used to work for a university, and I started doing these monthly presentations for a local systems administrator group, and just telling them about the, you know, the world of hacking and security. And it was a lot of fun to get up there and share what I've been learning and what I've seen, and relay that information back to them. And from there, I kind of fell into podcasting as kind of a regular thing. And it really appeals to the, you know, the geek inside me. And of course, our show's named Stogie Geeks, right? And I'm a true geek at heart. I've been doing computer programming. I started when I was like 7 or 8 years old. So,
can you whistle a bod tone? Do you know how to whistle a bod tone?
I have to rely on the Captain Crunch whistle to do all my phone hacking. The Pope necessarily wouldn't be my first call either for those interested in computer security hacking history. But yeah, in podcasting really appealed to my geek side, and kind of, you know, that's one of the things that keeps me going. You know, first and foremost, it's relating to my audience and relaying that information and having interactions with my listeners, and giving them a resource that helps them out in their job, or, you know, Stogie Geeks helps them with their hobby. But also for me, you know, you guys mentioned kind of my setups and stuff. You know, doing all that geeky stuff is a lot of fun. For episode 350, for an example, we had 5 high-definition cameras and 5 laptops that were help running the show, as well as lots of other different equipment. So as much as I complain to my audio guy, Steve, who's in here in studio with me about
Steve,
the trials and tribulations of setting up all that gear, it is pretty cool once you get it all working and you see it happen.
Steve the Whipping Boy.
We call him
Expert Steve, or Pay-Per-View, as we like to call him.
Silent type Steve. I love it. So what else we got, Surgeon? Rapid fire them questions.
All right. This is a question for both of you. I want to know, and we got to know the answer to this. What are you looking forward to smoking next? What's top of your list you're looking forward to next?
Go ahead, Will. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I actually smoked one of them already, but there's 3 other blends. But I'm really looking forward to going through the rest of Glenn Case's Christoph Gallerones line. So he came out with 4 new blends. Not only do they have new packaging, they have tobaccos he hasn't used before, and he's using a new factory in the PDR Cigars factory. So that's something I'm highly looking forward to. I'd say that's right now at the top of my list. I'd probably put the Alec Bradley Mundial as well on there. That's one that just got released, so I'm very much looking forward to that as well.
As a lot of my listeners know, while I try and smoke a lot of different things, from inexpensive to expensive, from regularly available to limited, I seem to kind of fall back on 2 brands that people make a lot of fun of me for, but they're the ones I look forward to smoking the most. And that's Opus X and Davidoff. And I think for Opus X, you know, the Lanceros just came out. Your local shop may have gotten their allotment of 1 or 2 boxes. And I'm looking forward to see what that does in a couple of years of age in my humidor. I actually went back and smoked one of the older Forbidden X Lanceros from 2010, and it was fantastic. With Davidoff, they've got some of their new limited releases coming out that I'm interested in smoking. They do a direct, and I forget what that is, but they do a direct-to-store kind of a reward for their highest grossing stores. And Will, do you remember what that one is? Did you smoke that one?
The Golden Band?
Yeah.
Smoked the 2012. I think there's a 13 that's supposed to be coming out.
Yeah, there's one of those floating around as well. I was also really impressed with their Davidoff Nicaraguan blend. I thought that was really interesting and unique.
Really?
What do you guys think is floating under the radar right now for cigars? Like, what would you say would be a good one that maybe isn't getting enough love in the marketplace that people should try?
I'll start with that one. There's a company called Lou Rodriguez Cigars. They're based in North Carolina, and I'm telling you, they make some phenomenal Nicaraguan blends. I have not been disappointed with one of their cigars. They're really, really good. They even came out with a 6x60 called the Lou Rod, which was even impressive for people who don't like 60 ring gauges. So I think they're really floating under the radar. I think they're ready to kind of break out. The other ones, I think he's starting to get some buzz, is Sean Williams with Premier Mundo.
Since he went with PDR, he's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, I like his stuff out of Little Havana as well. So those two are definitely on my radar. And then the third one I believe you had on, I know we had him on, was Antonio Lamb at Renato.
Mm-hmm.
I like his Grand Empire Reserve, and he's got some
awesome.
Good projects in the works. So yeah, he's got some good stuff right now.
He's a squirrely SOB, though. I mean, I love the guy, but he's a squirrely dude. And I've told him that, so he knows. But, man, he makes some great cigars. It's ridiculous. A little Habanito are freaking amazing. But, yeah. Coop, I'm so impressed with how much you know. Well, what's this one random blend that they send to this B&M for the – oh, yeah, Golden Label 2012. Oh, yeah, the 13. Yeah. This freaking blows my mind. Like, I mean –
We're gonna have to nickname Will the Encyclopedia.
Dude, you are the Encyclopedia. Anytime I have a question, I just ask you. Like the other day on the site, someone asked a question, and I kind of answered it, but then I saw you were on, and I was like, okay, Coop will answer this because I know it's gonna be a much more robust answer that I'll be able to provide. So funny.
You know, it's kind of interesting here locally. I've got two shops that actually sponsor the show that I visit frequently, and they each came back from IPCPR. Excited about this particular brand, and they each chose a different brand, and they both found out about their respective brands that were new and unique in similar the same way. They're like, I was out to dinner, I was sitting in the bar, and we were talking to the guy next to me. It turns out he makes cigars, and I tried one, and it was so awesome, I just had to bring it into the shop. So one of those brands is Falto Cigars, and we featured a few on our Stogie Geek show, but he's got a plentiful line of all different cigars, and every one of his cigars that's a different size is in fact a unique blend. And I've been doing a lot of different sampling of that Falto brand, and they actually make coffee, so they make Falto coffee, and it's supposed to pair well with the cigars, and they're pretty on point with that, because a Falto coffee with a Falto cigar is pretty good. I'm digging it. I really like the Robusto size in his line. Stood out for me, but I'm still kind of sampling the individual lines. And the other shop happened to bring in a debonair, Phil Zanghi. Phil Zanghi's actually the guy that does that. And those cigars are awesome. They're really strong, really full-bodied, very, very strong. It hits you in the face, but they're awesome, just full of flavor. They did a fantastic job blending these cigars. So while Falto's a little mild and I'll have it with coffee, after dinner, I'm reaching for these debonair cigars, and they've got a small little petite Corona that is just fantastic. All the way up to he makes a gigantic Salamone, which I haven't smoked yet, and I'm very excited to do that. So,
Sergeant, what else we got?
Yeah, well, Paul talked a little bit about pairing with coffee. What do you like to pair with when you smoke?
I'm not a big drinker. So I probably don't go down the pairing road. I am a coffee drinker, so if there's anything I do pair, it is with coffee. I find pairing actually a real art. But folks who can do it, I really admire that, because it's a tough thing to do. I have enough trouble detecting what's on a cigar. But I'd probably say coffee is the drink I drink the most of.
It's interesting. Our segment tonight on the Stogie Geeks is all about pairings, and I'll kind of tease that a little bit for our listeners. But I have to say the local cigar shop has that serves alcohol, and they brought in some beers that have actually been pairing very well with cigars. And over time, I've just never been a huge fan of pairing a beer and a cigar. And I know some people like to drink an IPA while they have a cigar, and I just can't get into that. I don't think the flavors pair well for me, for my palate anyway. Maybe some people they do, and if they do, you know, that's the beauty of cigar and drink pairings is you find what you like, and that's what you stick with. But, you know, there's a Omegang Brewery makes a Hennepin, and I really love that beer, and I never paired it with a lot of different cigars, and since they brought it into the local shop in the lounge, I've been doing that more often, and that's been pairing really, really well with all different kinds of cigars.
So you're a convert.
I've been converted, yes. Although I still won't pair orange juice with cigar. That's never
good.
Or Kahlua. Or Kahlua.
Kahlua is bad.
No. Or Everclear or anything else. I mean, I don't really – I'm the same way, Paul. I don't drink all that much. You know, I try to keep my drunk alter ego, you know, done and out of the way. Since college, I left that behind. But, I mean, I drink a lot of sweet tea. And, you know, some cigars it does really, really, really well. And some cigars it just does not well. So that'll be either just water or that, and I don't drink a lot of coffee. But
it's interesting you say that. So I got this raspberry sweet tea that we actually get from the milkman, which is kind of funny. People are like, you still have a milkman?
That's so funny.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah. And that raspberry tea does not pair well with cigars at all. It leaves this aftertaste in your mouth that just does not translate well to pairing with a cigar.
Yeah, that's – I mean, I just drink regular sweet tea. And then I drink a lot of hot teas because I've spent – hell, I'm like half Indian because I've spent almost 3 months of this year over there already. And that's the only damn safe thing you can drink is hot tea. So
yeah,
I'm kind of a hot tea aficionado.
I find – and I am too. I drink a lot of green tea. And I find that regular tea with no sweetener or milk in it, I don't find it enhances the flavor of a cigar, but it doesn't kill the flavor
right.
of a cigar either. It just kind of – it keeps your palate moist, which I think is important, similar to the way the water does, but it's a little more interesting to drink than water.
It's true. Surgeon, what else?
It's pretty quiet on the chat front. Maybe
there was a question that Matt Ross asked, and I would love for you to ask that question because we have a 5-pack writing on it.
I'm going to have to scroll back. Was it about a smoking style or about the dials?
No. Who Coop liked better, me or Matt?
Oh, all right. Who's Coop? Who would you say, who's your favorite person? Who's your favorite Cigar Fed mod? Is it Logan or is it Matt?
Or Meatwad?
Or Rob. Meatwad? Rob.
Oh, that's even worse. Oh, Coop. You couldn't answer that. More diplomatic, but oh, that was a dagger to the heart. Oh, Rob, he's still got his fangs in me. He's not even here. It sucks. That's so funny. But, yeah, so go ahead, Coop.
No, I mean, you guys both do a great job. I mean, Matt, that guy's got some passion. I spent a week with him in Nicaragua last year, and that guy's got some real passion for this industry.
Yeah, Matt's he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
And he wins more cigars than anyone I've ever seen. It's kind of ridiculous. But anyways, we won't get interrupted. But, Coop, let me ask you, so – what do you, you know, I mean, I think you have the pulse on the industry probably better than any media guy out there. You know, we talk about some trends in our show and, you know, boutiques and the sizes of Vitolos going up and down and, you know, that Nicaraguan tobacco is coming kind of the standard. You know, what are some emerging trends that you've seen in the industry that maybe people haven't picked up on, you know, through the work that you've done?
One thing that's quiet this year is the comeback of Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper cigars. I think that's been a wrapper that really has – a lot of blends have come out this year. Last year I thought was the year of Ecuadorian Habano.
It was.
And then the year before was Ecuadorian Connecticut. This year it seems there's this movement back towards Sumatra, and it's quiet. It's been quiet. Everyone's been talking San Andreas. Everyone's talking Kentucky fire-cured blends, even though there's not a lot of fire-cured blends. But I think Sumatra has really made this surge, at least in the second half of the year right now, where we're seeing a lot of blends there right now.
What cigars, I mean, and what cigars are released this year that have a Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper? Because I'm off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
Well, you know, interesting, you know, Barry Stein over at A Cigar Smoker, for example, he actually just did his blend, which is called the Kilo. So that's one that's using a Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. The EPC 2013 short run.
Okay.
Using an Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. Rocky Patel, you know, he did the Royale Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. So I mean, we're seeing, you know, quite a bit of it. If you look at some of the boutiques, they're starting to go down the line as well with that. So if you kind of just start looking at what's come out in the last few months, you'd be surprised at the amount of Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper out there.
Okay.
Here's a question for both of you, Will and Paul. We get this question a lot. What do you guys like for Vitolas? What's your go-to Vitola?
I like a lot of stuff from EPC. I reach a lot for the EPC Cardinal quite often. I'm a big Fuente guy. I'll reach for their regular line. In fact, I've got a holiday sample. In fact, Stogie Santa just ended up here in the studio. Say hi, Stogie Santa.
Hey, how's it going?
Santa!
What's up?
What's up, Santa?
I was asking about you earlier. I bought two holiday samplers from Fuente, actually from Stogie Santa, in 2010. And when I pulled the cedar off of a lot of the different things, they got the Añejo, they've got the Connecticut, there's all plume on all those cigars. So I've been smoking those up like candy. And as I said before, I'm a big Tatuaje fan.
Were you asking for what cigars we smoke or what Vitolas? I wasn't sure if I heard that right.
Well, specifically, if we narrow it down to Vitola, because there's a lot of discussion in the marketplace about larger ring gauge versus smaller ring gauge, and we were talking to some guys from Ezra last night, and they're mentioning that the Lancero Vitolas, lots of demand, but then not seeing a lot of sales in the marketplace when they come out with them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a very much a Toro Robusto guy, so I tend to go there. I do probably have a higher tolerance for 60 ring gauges than a lot of folks in the industry who are in the media. I think if the blend's done right, you can do a 60. You know, my thoughts on 60, and I know we talked about this on a Stogie Geeks, but if it's getting smokers smoking and they enjoy it and it's a quality cigar, more power to it. There's bigger things we can worry about than how big the ring gauge is.
Right.
Yep. No, it's true.
I mean, me personally, I like the short Robusto size and a Corona size.
Corona and Lancero.
Yeah, Lancero.
Corona Gorda.
Yeah, Corona Gorda is good.
That's my fave. And, you know, back to the Lancero question, you know, this is my hypothesis, is that, you know, most of the boutique manufacturers, you know, sell in B&Ms. A lot of them don't sell online. Unless that manufacturer, you know, unless that retail shop kind of has an online presence. And I really think, and this is just my experience, before I put myself in the top 1% of cigar smokers from a knowledge standpoint, I'm nowhere near Coop, but you know, from doing media, you get more educated, you experiment a lot more, you smoke a lot more cigars. But before that, when I was a Cigar International fanboy, you know, I'd go into a local shop, I'd look and say, wow, I can get this, you know, big, you know, Corona, or this big Toro, this Grande Toro, whatever, and it's a 6x60, and it's $10, or I can get this Robusto for $8.50. I'm like, that's a lot more for my money. And it was cool smoking big cigars. And I think a lot of it has where you sell. I think B&M's overall sells bigger ring gauges because it's easier to sell because people don't understand that maybe depending on the experience that smoking a bigger cigar maybe isn't a better experience. It's just more tobacco and you feel like you're getting more for your money. But that's my hypothesis.
You know, it's funny though. I completely agree with that hypothesis. But I sit in cigar lounges and you know I see sometimes people smoking a 60, and I'll go give them a Lonsdale maybe of that same cigar or a Lancero or a Corona Gorda. And they'll come back and say, you know what, I'll still stick with my 60. So,
really?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not, these aren't necessarily hardcore geeks. They're just guys who like to sit around and enjoy a good cigar. So I think there is what you say, Logan, but I think there are people that really like having the big, I call it like the Tony Soprano effect, having that big stogie in your mouth.
Nah, dude, there's nothing wrong with that. And before we were on AFRN, I probably would have made a dirty joke. But unfortunately, I can't now.
I was trying to keep it clean, too.
I know. I try to keep it clean. Keep it clean
matters.
For kids.
Size matters.
Size matters. You know, it's not how deep you fish. It's how you wiggle the worm, kid. So, anyways, Surgeon, if there's any more questions, let's ask the last question, and then we're butting up against the hour here.
You know, I think the last question we probably got going here is quick hits. What would you guys say is a good go-to sub sort of for all the CI guys like Logan used to be? What is your go-to sub $5 smoke?
I like the Illusione Rothschild.
I do like that cigar.
That's a good one.
It's a good cigar.
You know, I'll put the EPC New Wave Connecticut there. But,
yes.
Yeah, a great cigar. But I tell you, I've been smoking those Viva Republica Guerrilla Warfares, which is an under $4 cigar, and that's probably the best under $4 cigar I've had. That cigar is amazing. Jason Holly's blend by Viva Republica.
Series D Maduro. In the, I don't know, 8 or 9 or whatever the Vitola is. It's like, I think it's like right at $5. Or Roma Craft, the Intemperances, the short Robustos. Mm-hmm. Good boutique under $5. Or right at $5.
Yeah. Also, I like to put people in Fuente. Yeah, the 858, thank you, Stogie Santa, is a great one. And even some of their smaller Chateau Fuente sizes are really good, too.
Yeah, Chateau Fuente is a tasty smoke.
And that Sherman 546 is another one.
Oh, boy, yeah.
That is something special.
Well, cool. Well, Paul, Coop, we're bunting up against the hour. We're got to wrap it up here. But before we go, just take a second, tell all of our listeners on AFRN and the podcast on iTunes where they can find you guys, when you guys air your show, and just give them all the background so they can seek you guys out.
Sure. For all things Stogie Geeks, you can go to stogiegeeks.com.
Easy.
And for Cigar Coop, it's cigar, www.cigar-coop.com.
Awesome. Well, guys, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Surgeon, give him your information, and I'll wrap it up here.
You got it. You guys can find me at Cigar Fed doing reviews Tuesday and Friday. We do a impromptu cigar herf on Monday, which is just an open herf. Feel free to stop by. Occasionally we'll have manufacturers and industry people online. And you can always catch me in Our Cigars as Avarice, chatting all day long.
Cool. Well, guys, this is Logan. Oh, what do we got?
Yeah, thanks for having us on. It was an honor and a privilege.
Well, thank you very much. We're looking forward to coming on your guys' show. Yes, yeah, exactly. I'm not sure when it's scheduled, but we're looking forward to it. So everyone out there, AFRN, on Cigar Federation and the interwebs, thanks for tuning in tonight. Wrapping up our show with Stogie Geeks. I'm Logan. You can find me, Logan at Dell, Corporate Monkey on Twitter. Find me at Smokin' Logan on Cigar Federation. And whenever you see Rob on Twitter, just make sure you tell him how much he sucks. This is Logan signing off. See everyone after. Enjoy your Halloween, and see everyone next Thursday with Cedar Spills. All right, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.